You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. And on this Masters weekend, what a thrill it is to have two-time Master champion, 19-time winner on the PGA Tour, three-time national champion at the University of Texas, Ben Crenshaw, with us here on the show. Ben, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys? It's going to be great to talk to these two guys. I've known them forever. They're great guys. I love to see them all the time. And what a strange week. Those guys are supposed to be teeing it up at the Masters this week. But thank goodness it's going to be played in November.
Absolutely. Are you? We were just talking about how we're watching the old Masters on ESPN and the Golf Channel. Are you doing it? The guy who's got a couple of green jackets, are you watching them too?
I love to watch those old films because it gives a glimpse of what the course used to play like way back. The one characteristic is that I played for probably 25 years. There wasn't a speck of rough. It was very wide and inviting. But the golf course kind of played elusive that way. It was hard and fast, and if you hit a ball offline, it was liable to find some trouble. Sometimes it hangs up on an errant tee shot, but I think it was Craig Stadler, I think in 1981, I'm sorry, that they were Bermuda greens. Then they changed over to bent. But the greens used to be very hard and fast. They weren't as fast as they are now, but it was very firm. You had to hit a good shot with a lot of spin to keep it to where you were trying to go. So it was interesting. I loved watching the old swings, what happened way long ago. And the course is still fairly the same, but you can see some of the decisions that people made back then. So, and that was fun. I love watching those.
Benny, Charlie here. Good morning.
Charlie, how you doing? I can tell everybody that when we played last, you not only beat me, you dispatched me.
you're so kind. But, you know, you've always been the historian of golf. You've loved the game. You've been around Augusta so many years. You've won. But now you're the host of the most important dinner in the world that we would all love to go to, but just the champions. Are you enjoying your new role as host of the dinner on Tuesday night?
Oh, I really do. I just try to kick things off a little bit, and I usually try to come up with a Bobby Jones quote and kind of state the reason why we are all in that room. And basically what his philosophy was, he and Clifford Roberts started something there that's the envy of the golf world. It's in a place where Jones really wanted to kind of depict St. Andrews, which was his favorite course, in that he wanted an inland rolling golf course. And boy, I mean, when I was just like everybody else, when I saw my first Masters in 1972, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was so hilly and so undulating. The greens just fascinated me. I said, God bless, how do you unlock the secrets to these greens? I can tell you this. Billy will get a kick out of this. When I won in 1984, I came into the champions' locker room the next year, and there was his dad sitting there. Claude was there, and I walked in with a pair of tennis shoes, and he just looked at me and said, "Well, I've seen it all now. That's the first Masters champion I've ever seen in a pair of tennis shoes." Oh, my God. I was so embarrassed.
Oh, God.
Oh, my. Well,
hey,
yeah.
Ben, great to have you on, and always good to see and talk to you. My father loved you, as you know, and he was one of your biggest fans. But you mentioned how different the course was, and that leads me to a question for you as a player, but more importantly, an architect. With all the improvement in the equipment and the balls and the clubs and the ball going so much farther than it used to for a kaleidoscope of reasons, how do you think it's affected the your architecture, for one? But I think they've changed the what you said with Bobby Jones's dream of that golf course. It's all changed dramatically because of how far the ball's going, and how much of that influences you and Mr. Coors' golf course design.
Well, Billy, it's I know that you know, one of his tenets, one of Jones and Dr. McKenzie's tenets, was to provide pleasure for everyone playing. You know, it was like it's open. It's inviting, and it's a second shot. It's an approach golf course, really, when you start thinking about it and trying to position your ball up on those greens, which are so – they're just diabolical. A lot of them have so much pitch to them. It's what can happen after you approach. And the two shots, you know, I don't think there's any question that every champion or someone who's done well has always approach putted really well, because you're going to leave yourself some terrible approach putts. And if you can get those things down in two, it starts to thread the needle for the rest of your round. But yeah, no question, it's a different presentation now, Billy. You've seen it, and you know, they've done everything they can do to combat distance. They've tightened it. They've grown trees. They've backed up tees. And to provide a modern game, it's just different. It's so different than what it used to be.
What about a uniform ball that would limit the distance, Ben? Are you for it or against it?
Well, I'm not for bifurcation. I don't think it's good for the game of golf. I know that the idea was floated, Bill. You know that. It was Hootie Johnson. Hootie Johnson was the chairman at the time. He sort of intimated it in the press. He said, we might have to go to a standard ball here or a Masters ball, which, wow, that's a big leap. They've done a heck of a job of backing up the course and challenging the modern players. I mean, it is really long now. But the fact, I never thought in my life, Billy, and I knew Charlie too, that, you know, majority of players now can carry the ball 300 yards. It's just, I never dreamed about that when I was playing, but that's... That's the way these guys are athletes now. I got a kick out of Dave Stockton's comments one time. I said, what do you think, Dave? And he said, well, I'll put it this way. The caddies today are in much better shape than we were when we were playing. That includes you, Billy.
That's very true, I think.
Ben? Last year, Tiger Woods did an amazing thing. He won his Masters when we thought he would never win again, a major. Which Masters was more important, his first one or the one he won last year? Well, but it wasn't that amazing for him to come back and win?
Wow, that's a good question, Charlie. I tell you what I saw leading up to Masters last year, I saw a really balanced athlete. I know that he was feeling much better about his body. You could tell by the way he was swinging. He wasn't trying to just kill the ball. Beautifully balanced, but I think he was in a good time in his life. You know, he'd won the Tour Championship and then the Japanese tournament. But he looked so good doing it. And I said, God, this guy's capable. And experience won that tournament last year. He knew what he had to do, and he was very, very patient. And darn if a couple of people unexpectedly made some mistakes, and Tiger sort of, you know, he is one of the great surveyors that the game's ever seen. I mean, he takes everything in. He knows where he is. He knows what's going on, and he executed beautifully. His shots were solid and positioned correctly, and he took advantage of people's mistakes, and it was a great thing to see. But I just watch his swing these days, and it just looks beautifully balanced to me.
He really, really is. Well, we're running out of time on this segment. Ben, are you going to be able to stick around for another segment with us?
Absolutely. I've got nothing to do.
Well, in a few short words, okay, we got less than a minute left, but what are you doing right now?
I'm in a car. I'm in a friend's ranch up in Burnett, Texas, and my girls are asleep, and it's a great family, and we've come out for Easter weekend. I'm out in the hill country, and it's just beautiful out here.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That really, really is. Bernard, that's just a beautiful area, the hill country in Texas, if you've never been there. A lifelong Texan, Ben Crenshaw, with us here on ESPN 97.5. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. We'll have another segment with Gentle Ben right here on the show. Don't you go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. We've got Ben Crenshaw, two-time master champion, on the Progressive phone line. Progressive, it is brought to you by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Ben Crenshaw, another segment here. Let's talk a little bit about your career. Ben, a three-time national champion at the University of Texas. You go out on tour and win your first event. You must have thought in 1973, boy, this is easy, huh?
John, I had a wonderful college career. I had some great teammates. We won two team championships during that period. And right around then, I was starting to travel as an amateur to play these wonderful events. And I met some of the players that I'd be playing against during my career. And man, the competition was great. I was watching some great players during that period, and it was a barometer of how you were stacking up. Wow, I tell you what, I'll never forget meeting Billy Harmon the first time. Hit the national junior when I was 16 years old in Boston, and what a good looking player
Billy was.
How
about
that, huh? Oh my God! And I just it was. You know,
how
you
about
just
that
threw yourself
as a junior player.
oh my goodness! It was just part of is starting to gain experience and trying to play different courses and learn to sort of adapt to your surroundings. You know, when you start, there's always been some great players who play well on their home courses, but when they start traveling and competing, then you start learning, and then you try to separate yourself from everybody else. But you see how good people are. So it was seeing that great competition helped me to say, God, I've got to do some things differently to do well. Yeah, I was playing well, and I came out, and I had just qualified for the tour, and I was playing really well. I went to San Antonio, and and had some great things happen. And darn if I didn't win there in San Antonio. And I said, well, God, it, you know, it just can't be like this. And I played well, but I'm very much like other young golfers. You play and you compete and you start playing poorly. You start searching. You try to improve your game, and you suffer ups and downs. It's part of it. I'll never forget teeing off with Dave Marr one year at Riviera. I started poorly, and I said, God, Dave, I can't seem to start well anymore. He said, good Lord, you've just started on the tour. What do you mean? And he said, no, you're on your 21st. You're on your 21st comeback. I said, oh God. But to meet players like that and be part of it, God, it's just been a big part of my life. And I look back at the experiences and the friends I've made. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Billy, I was going to ask you about a shot that, you know, when I won in 1995, your man Jay Haas was hot pursuer, you and Davis Love.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, that second shot on 15 that last day, when I look back at the films, I said, oh, my God, what a great second shot you hit. And that ball was 1 foot away from putting for an eagle. Can you remember that shot?
Yeah, he hit it just a hair. He was trying to hit a high cut. And he said he hit it just, you know, an nth of a degree fat, just the slightest bit. I think a year or so later when Eliza Ball won, he hit almost the same shot and stayed up on the fringe, and he held the putt for three. But as you know, that's what happens. You know, Jay and I were going back and forth, Ben, watching all these old masters here this week. And he mentioned to me that he couldn't believe how many great one and two irons and mid irons that players hit. And he said nowadays you very rarely even see a player hitting, a one or two iron. Or you never see him hitting a mid-iron into a par four. It's always a wedge. But he also commented on how many great shots he saw hit pin high before players had yardage. They were actually playing kind of by feel. And did you find that to be true when you first started playing at Augusta? You didn't have a yardage book, did you?
No, I did not. I tell you what, luckily, I latched on to Carl Jackson, who I'm telling you, he helped me immeasurably over there in so many years. He made me learn and study that course. But no, we played by feel. We didn't have yardage. We played by clubs. You know, how he knew how I was feeling a certain day, and you were trying to land the ball. It was all trying to, where you're going to land the ball, what the shot was going to look like, where it was going to end up, what shot you were going to try. But, you know, you're so right about the long irons. I remember Pete Dye telling me, he said, I cannot get these guys to hit a long iron. And that was the way the game was going. And he was – but, you know, one great shot that I really loved to watch was Bob Golby's 3-iron on 15 that year he won. That was a great shot. But you're so right. And then you think about Jack's 1 and 2 irons on 15, the years that he was, God, 86. I mean, that was just a gorgeous shot. But, you know, it's a different game in these days. There's nothing that you can compare it to, but it was a different time, different balls, different technology, and you had to play it differently. But that old course is the same. It still offers you some momentous decisions that your heart's in your throat, and you hope it comes off.
Okay, Ben, I want you to pick a winner of this threesome.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Teeing off on a Sunday, you got Tiger Woods, you got Ballesteros, and you got Jack Nicklaus. Who wins?
Ye whiz. What a question. What a question, Charlie. I have watched Jack Nicklaus my whole career, and I've never seen a better concentrator in my life. If Seve's on his game, he's dangerous as hell. And Tiger Woods, he's got a mind like a steel trap, kind of like Hogan. But I don't know. I'd say somehow Jack Nicklaus would get it done.
That a boy. I like it.
great stuff.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't know why. I've always said that Jack was such a better driver than Tiger. Kind of coming down the stretch. Jack did have a swing to get the ball in play, it seemed like. Don't you think, Ben?
Oh, and his ability to hit a high long iron was unparalleled. I mean, he could hit one and two irons is just high and soft, and, you know, nobody could do that as well as he could. But he was a great approach putter, great clutch putter. Nothing ever seemed to bother him. He'd get upset a little bit, but then the next shot was thought out with conviction. He played with so much common sense. So much common sense. He always had the right club in his hand. He wasn't going to defeat himself.
Ben Crenshaw with us here on the Charlie Apps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Speaking of putting, you were thought to be the best on the tour of your time, maybe one of the best of all time. When the young guys, I would imagine a bunch of them ask you about putting. When they do, what's the first thing you look at? And when a guy asks you to look at his putting?
Oh, John, I think everybody's got an individual style. I think that there's no doubt that the best putters I've seen in my career always had a sense of how far to hit it, how hard to hit it, because If you've got a good speed in mind, that's dictating your line. You look at a putt, and always tried to look at the last third of a putt to see what the ball's going to do as it dies. And I was trying to picture that. And I did my best putting when I wasn't thinking about anything. I putted poorly when I started thinking mechanics. I started thinking about my stroke. Instinctive putting is what I like to see in a player. In other words, you're thinking about just nothing but distance and that line and how to get that and not to complicate it. I love putting those greens at Augusta because you've got to have a great imagination. And I can't tell you about the importance of hitting a lag putt, you know, from 40 feet, and you get it up there 2 feet from the hole. It's such a relief. But, man, are those challenging. They're such challenging greens, and you've got to know them. And if you've got a guy like Carl Jackson by your side, you're doing pretty good.
Charlie, you want to finish
you know,
it up?
Every time Jay played in Augusta, he would always ask to play a practice round with Ben, and he always picked Ben's mind about putting those fast greens. And one thing you told him, Ben, I'll never forget, was when you're putting fast, undulating greens, always miss the ball on the high side, because when the ball loses speed, it's getting closer to the hole, and if you miss it low, it's always going farther from the hole. Mm-hmm.
Well, I really did, Bill. I was trying to play the highest, softest line that I could. I just figured that was the safest way to do it. It's just you've got to do things there that you don't normally do during the course of competitions through the year. You have to picture those putts and then try to attempt them.
Well, Ben, I can't thank you enough for taking time away from your family as you drive in beautiful Texas. But you've been such a great champion, a great person, and it's always a pleasure to get to hear you talk about this great game. So have a great Saturday in the Hill Country, and God bless you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Well, God bless you, Ben. great to talk to both of you. Have a happy Easter, and hopefully we'll have an awakening in this country. We've been through enough here.
Yes.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Ben Crenshaw on the Progressive phone line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, John.
There's Ben Crenshaw, two-time master champion.
Thank you, Ben.
One of the most famous shots at the Masters. Phil maybe jumping, that little jump that Phil had. Ben collapsing, Jack raising his putter on 17. Those are some of the most famous images from Augusta National, and Ben is part of it. And he was right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. We got another segment to go here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't you go anywhere.